They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us today, we have someone who sees the funny side of all the horrors out there. We have a gentleman from Austin, Texas, called Greg Dorchek. Greg, hello. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thank you for having me on here, Sue.
Now, you're doing a movie. You're making a movie called The Enforcer, right?
Code Enforcer. I can't use The Enforcer because Dirty Harry already took that one.
Dirty Harry's got that, huh?
But it's close to, yeah, Code Enforcer.
That dirty dog? That dirty dog. Well, I saw a little clip of what you've got coming, of coming attractions, let's say, and it's really funny. So tell us a little bit about it. Why? I mean, you are a movie maker. You've made movies before. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to do this and where you're headed with it.
Okay. Well, a little bit of background on me. I've been a graphic artist for most of my life. I've also been a stand-up comic, an improv comic. I write some children's books and illustrate them. I was doing stand-up comedy right out of high school. I was 17 years old and was doing that, and I've just always liked humor. I mean, there really is no better sound to me in the world than somebody laughing with something that's funny. And the film was something I studied in college. I went to school at UNLV out in Las Vegas and started on a film program there, but it got kind of butchered, and I never finished my degree out there. But going from stand-up comedy to improv comedy, one of the next things that was in writing sketch comedy, one of the next big steps was writing screenplays, and I started writing screenplays maybe 20 years ago. And again, it was mostly comedy stuff. I've written some drama, but not a lot of it. I like dark comedies, broad comedies, romantic comedies. And I've done a lot of shorts, and as I said, a lot of sketch comedy. And a couple years ago, we started working on feature-length screenplays. And then also being an actor, there was, roles you want to play, and you don't get to play them unless you write them. And then eventually you also stumble into producing your own work, and so that's where I'm at now. As far as Code Enforcer goes, it was an idea. My wife and I bought our house here in Austin, 98, I think it was. And like most people that buy their first home, it's all just a lot of blah, 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 and you sign on the dotted line, and you move in, and you're not real aware of what the blah, blah, blah was until something happens, and you get that note in the mail, or you get that code enforcer at your front door saying, you can't do that. And so we had a couple of little incidences there, and I said, you can't write this stuff. And actually, you can't. But so, I had this idea for this movie about code enforcement and restrictive covenants for a couple of years. And I was on a set back in 2007, I think it was, with another actor. And he was doing some writing as well, some shorts. And he had me rewrite one of his shorts. And we co-produced it and co-directed it. And then we were talking on that set about our next project. And we found out we both had the same idea for a movie. His was a little bit, the one he had in mind was a little bit more drama-based. And mine, of course, was comedic-based. And so we started writing it together. I don't normally work with a partner, but we did that just because we had, like, the same idea. And so we wrote this as a way of you know, we said we can't do this as a flat-out drama. If we do this as a drama, people are just going to be crying.
Yeah.
And
but they are. Said, well, but the thing is, Greg, they are crying. I mean, in real life, they really and truly are crying.
That's true. But again,
that's not what you want your audience to do, right?
Yeah, it's entertainment. People watch movies a lot of times to get away from that stuff that makes them cry, you know, or to see that somebody else has it worse than them or something. But if, you know, you learn a lot doing marketing. I've worked for advertising companies as well, and you learn a lot doing marketing, and information is passed and retained better if you use humor to do it. And to me, this was the perfect way to show how ridiculous HOAs are, by making it funny and diminishing what it is they're doing. And if people can sit there and say, oh, my God, this is ridiculous, then maybe they won't cry so much. Maybe they won't feel so defeated. Maybe at some point it won't be too difficult to stand up against these bullies. So,
you know, I've been doing this for a very long time. And at the beginning, when I first started doing all this HOA stuff, people were afraid of speaking up. People were afraid that they had done something really terrible. They were embarrassed about it. But the thing is, it's so commonplace, and so many people are affected by it. And it's such a big industry now. It's a $50 billion annual.
Oh, man.
Yeah, a $50 billion annual industry with all of these people feeding at the homeowner trough. And the only way they can generate more money is to create more conflict.
Right.
And this just gives the attorneys and the managers access to more of your money.
Yeah.
And so, did you know that the X-Files did a segment on HOAs, right?
You know, a friend of mine told me that a while ago, and I never found the episode that it was, but I've been looking every once in a while when I think about it, I go and look for it. But, which leads me to another thing. You know, we started out just making a movie, and it's just a giant rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You know, once you start looking up stuff, just start pulling off all over the place. So, you know, I'll go off on this tangent and that tangent, and every once in a while I'll remember, oh, yeah, there was an X-Files episode. And I haven't seen it yet, but, yes, I am aware of it.
Okay, there's the X-Files. Roseanne Barr did one a number of years ago. It was a Christmas show. Did you see that one?
I vaguely remember that, yes. It wasn't in my... in the forefront of my mind, because I don't think I owned my house at that time, so, you know, it wasn't something that I naturally would have glommed on to.
I got a call, because I never watched Roseanne, I got a call, quick, turn it on, and it was Christmas, and they were doing the decorations, and of course they came home, and there was this letter, and it was really hysterical. They got this letter from the association throughout the whole show. They were decorating. They were decorating the house, and somebody's mother came in and said, "Do you know what he's doing out there?" And she said, "He's doing something." I mean, it sounded like there was some obscene stuff going on between the animals and Santa Claus and all of that. You never saw it, but the idea was there. Then they all went out to light it up, and when they plugged it in, the house just lit up like a Christmas tree, but then you could see the town in the background going dark.
That's funny.
It was absolutely hysterical. And then Duck Dynasty did something recently as well on HOAs.
I'm sorry, what?
Duck Dynasty.
Oh, yeah.
They recently had a segment on HOAs as well. So a lot of people are making fun of them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of material out there, Greg. There's a ton of material.
Man.
There's
a
ton of material.
So, that was one thing we noticed. You know, we did some canvassing in our neighborhood and other neighborhoods to make people aware of what we were doing. And it was literally every other house. If we caught people at home, we always get the same response. Hey, we're making a movie. What's the movie about? HOAs. And they just get this smile on their face. And they say, oh, those SOBs. And it's like the same exact thing from everybody we talk to, and then they launch into their story, and they say, "Oh, go talk to Ted and Mary across the street, and they've got a good one for you." And it's just, it's amazing. They come out of the woodwork, with some of the most absurd, hateful, just stories that, again, you say you can't write this stuff.
Yeah,
Yeah, just tons of material.
Now, don't forget, you've got to have pink flamingos in there, too, right?
We actually have a very funny scene that involves pink flamingos and a wood chipper in the movie. There is the chief master code enforcer, who's the head of the HOA in the film. He has a lawn decoration inspection day, and everybody has to bring in their decorations. And if he likes them, you know, they get to put them on their lawn. And if he doesn't, you know, use your imagination. So, we do have flamingos in there, lawn gnomes, all kinds of stuff.
I'll have to send you a link to a story. That's really hysterical as well. And I don't know. So is the movie, it's all been written? It's all?
Yes, the movie is written. The movie has been written for a while. It's undergoing some polishing now just to see if there's anything that needs to be updated. Because, as I said, we started working on it a few years ago, got it written. We decided we were going to produce it ourselves because we were both filmmakers. And we chose the absolute worst year on the face of the earth to start making the movie, the worst month and year. We started, like, saying, let's produce this in October of 2008. And, of course, that was, you know, exactly when the stock market crashed and everything was horrible. And so we had a lot of trouble getting funding. So we had to put it on the back burner because, you know, for a couple of years after that, nobody even wanted to talk about investment, let alone for an indie film, especially, you know, even here in Austin. And so it is written. We're polishing it up right now to see if there's anything, you know, new we should or could add. And now we're in the fundraising stages.
So you've got a little bit of it filmed. You've got a trailer. How much of it have you got filmed?
The actual movie that we're making, there's nothing filmed on it yet. The teaser that we put together was for marketing purposes. It was, you know, a lot of times you'll tell people, we've got this idea, and even though they get the idea of HOAs, it's always more fun to show them kind of where you're heading with it. And we got a lot of great feedback from the teaser, people watching it just think it's hilarious. And so that's kind of our calling card, and they look at that, they say, yeah, I either want to contribute to it, or I want to actually invest in it when they get to that point. And so, you know, it's doing what we created it for, to get people interested in our project.
So that's not part of the movie?
Correct. Well, there are some of the scenes that are in there, and it was actually, there's a, the idea of this recruitment video actually is in the movie, but this particular teaser, it kind of morphed as we went along. it kind of got bigger than what we originally wrote it as. So, though the idea is in the movie and some of the scenes are in the movie, this particular teaser may not end up 100% in the movie.
Okay. I was just wondering if you did the teaser, you know, 1 year and then you had to wait for 5 years to get the funding to then start. I mean, the actors would look a little different. It's like, wait a minute, what happened to that enforcer?
Well, also, the great thing about this teaser was the fact that it's written like a recruitment video. Again, Chief Master Code Enforcer Vern Spiner needs some more minions to go do his bidding. And so he's got, you know, we created this teaser to look like one of those really late-night infomercials or paid programming.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, so it's done in that style, as if, you know, somebody told him you have to have, you know, the head HOA out there, wherever it is in Idaho, says you need to have, you know, more of this, and so, but you don't have any budget. And this is as if Chief Spiner, you know, just picked up his camera and said, we can do this. And so the main characters that are in the teaser, they're these fictitious code enforcers named Duty and Hard Work. And so those characters aren't anywhere else in the movie except on this teaser. So it's not important that they look the same if it takes us 5 years to make the movie. We're hoping we can shoot the movie in October if we raise the money.
Oh, so you think it might come up soon? So you think you might do it? So once you get started on shooting the movie, how long does it normally take? What's a normal time frame for something like that?
You mean to actually film the movie?
To film the movie and to get it out there in the theaters.
Yeah. So it's kind of two very different things. There's actually three stages three solid stages of filmmaking, and the first is pre-production, or which encompasses development a lot of times, and that's kind of where we're at now. We're trying to raise money so that we can approach a couple of main talent so that we can get them signed on to the film, and when we've got all this going, we talk to a distributor, and we say to the distributor, here's the script we have, here's the cast that we have attached to it, we raised this much money already, we need this kind of a budget. The distributor will look at it and say, wow, this is hilarious. Oh, and you've got this attached and you've got that. We think we can sell this when it's done. And there's different ways distributors work. But in general, you'll either get an advancement on what they think they can sell it for, or just as good, you'll get a letter of intent that when this movie is made, we will distribute it for you. And that's almost as good as getting cash, because then you can go to investors and say, well, we've got this letter of intent, so it's already sold, we already have this, we already have that, and then maybe you get your funding for production. Production is I guess a lot of people think it's the hardest part, actually making the movie. For me, it's the easiest part. It's the fun part. And pre-production and development could take years. It could be as simple as 6 months, although that rarely ever happens, but it could take years. That's why a lot of people refer to development as development hell, where you have this project and you just can't to get it going. But then production, typically with an indie film, because time is money, they try to shoot them a little quicker. You know, we don't have the budget to shoot for 3 months. It will take anywhere from 14 days to maybe 3 or 4 weeks. Our production schedule on this is probably going to be around 21 days, so around 3 weeks.
Oh, really? Actually, that quick?
Yeah. Yep, to actually shoot the film.
How long then, I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, and answer to the question I think you're just about to ask. After it's done, it will probably take us, this particular film doesn't have a great deal of special effects or anything in it. So post-production, where we'll be editing it and doing the sound and all that and getting it ready to be an actual film that you can watch, will probably take us anywhere from 2 to 4 months to get it to the point where it's solid and watchable. And then there'll be some tweaking that goes on from there. But once we have that version, we can start shopping that around to festivals, distributors if we still need one. And then finding a distributor, this is one of the hardest parts to me, is getting it out there. There's a lot of new venues for independent film to get distributed. You can, literally, people can make a movie on their iPhones now, get it cut together, and have it distributed somewhere online. There's
You're
a lot
kidding.
Of no, I'm not. People have done that.
On their iPhones.
Yeah, yep, on iPhones, on iPads. The hard part now is the marketing, because if your film is out there and on one of these 3,000 distribution platforms, it doesn't matter if nobody's being driven to the site so they can see it. And it doesn't always go to theaters. That's why you try to, you know, get as good a product put together as you can with talent and story and all that, because you want to go to theaters. And then it's going to go to, you know, Netflix or whatever after that. But a lot of, you know, if you look at the numbers, I don't really know how any filmmakers decide they want to be a filmmaker. There are, you know, tens of thousands of movies made every year. And, you know, you get a handful of them that actually make it onto movie screens. And it's pretty daunting when you start looking at the numbers. But you just have to look at it as, you know, a film is going to make it to the screen this year. It might as well be ours. How can we work to make ours the best it can be so that we get onto screens, and then we go to DVD sales, and then we go to Netflix and stuff like that.
Go on.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The last part of that is, so to find that market and to actually get it sold to where it's a distributed, released movie could take anywhere from, you know, 6 months at the very rarest, to 2 years, which is the average.
We're talking to Greg Dorchak, who's making a movie about, what else? HOAs. And he's got the funny side of it. He's got the lighter side. So I'm really pleased to be doing a lighter show for a change, because we've been really hammering on some of the really heavy stuff. So it's kind of nice to take a break and have a bit of a giggle and just let down our hair and get re-energized and get ready to get in there. But I have to tell you, Greg, On the way over to the studio, I talked to someone. Now the legislature is in session, and of course, every time they all get together, your and my rights are at risk.
I'll tell you,
And they've got some really, in Virginia, they've got some really, really, really horrendous bills that are going through, that are being heard by the Senate today. So we've been doing, in between all of this, we've been doing some lobbying, trying to kill the bills. And I got a call from someone who was on my distribution list. He's not a legislator, but he called me. He said, I used some of the stuff that you wrote and sent it out to my mailing list, he says, and put it on my blog, and I put it on my website, and he said, we got the single largest number of people clicking on the article, reading the article. They had something like 600 or 700 responses to there from people who said, they don't like their HOA. So if you've got HOA anywhere that's prominently featured, there's this visceral reaction that people have to it.
Yes.
Most people hate them.
Yep.
So, use it. Trade on that.
Yeah, that's what we're, as I said, a lot of times in this industry, the people, the powers that be say, well, you have to have your elevator pitch for your film. And the elevator pitch is, you can probably guess, is if you were stuck in an elevator with a producer that's going up, 10 floors, what's your story? And it's got to hook them in that short period of time. And that's, it can be anywhere from a minute, it's a small paragraph. And I don't even need that for this one. As I said earlier, we go up to people and all we have to do is say three letters. Well, four letters with the S on the end of it. We just say HOAs. And we literally get the same response every single time. We get that grin and that seething, not a laugh because it's too painful, kind of grin. Oh, those guys.
I start the show off every week with you're leaving the American zone.
Yeah, yeah.
I have my little yard sign. Okay, you're leaving the American zone now.
Yeah. And it's also, I just recently bought a book, and I mentioned it to you the other day, and you're familiar with him, of course, Ward Lucas.
Yes.
I recently bought his book, Neighbors at War.
Right.
And it was an eye-opener because I knew, again, we were coming at this from being filmmakers, and we got the story because we're homeowners, but fortunately, we live in a pretty relaxed HOA where we are. They're not the Nazis. They're just kind of the neighbors that are a little too nosy. And so we're looking at it from one point of view, and it's like, okay, HOA started in the 70s and blah, blah, blah. And Ward's book was an eye-opener because it says, no, HOAs go back another 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And it's really just all about it started out as discrimination. And so we're going, holy cow, this is like, I guess I would have seen that had I thought about it from, a different point of view other than we're making this funny movie. And so, I literally just got his book. I've only read like a couple chapters, but it's an eye opener. Evil.
They were exclusionary in the beginning, and there was just a handful of them.
Yeah.
And the idea was to keep certain races and religions out of the neighborhood, and to keep it very exclusive. They became sort of commonplace after World War II, when there was a great economic boom and people had cars and they wanted to move out of the urban centers and move out into the suburbs. And that's when the suburbs said, hey, wait a minute, we just cannot handle this influx of people. There's a guy by the name of Byron Hankey who was a land planner, and he said, look, you can make it pretty, you can have pretty streetscapes, and you can do all of this wonderful stuff. Just get the homeowners to pay for it.
Right.
And the local municipality said, oh, they'll never go for it. He said, yeah, they will. Don't worry about it. So that's how it started. Remind me, Greg, I've got a video I can send you that you can see all of that. I don't know if it's going to be of any interest or help to you at this point, but it will give you a stronger background of what's going on or how we got to that point. I'm sorry?
I would love to see that video.
Yeah,
like I said, I mean, it's I'm sorry to interrupt, but it was just, you know, again, we're doing this from a point of view, we're making a movie, and as we got into it more and more, it was just, oh my God, what have we got ourselves into? And, you know, even now, it's kind of hard sometimes to remember that we're making this little light comedy where we just see some of the pain and agony that homeowners are put through.
Yeah.
With this thing that we're making light of. But again, you know, at this point, we're hoping this will actually help people. You know, I'm sure there's going to be people out there that go, why are you making light of this important thing? But you have to. You know, you need that release. You need a cathartic release to just, instead of screaming and burning your own house down in spite, you have to kind of have an outpouring for, you know, for that anger and turmoil you got inside. And I'm hoping this movie will do that for a lot of people.
Well, we did that in our own association. Frank and I, we went out with flyers making fun of them. I mean, everything the board said or did, we just turned it around. And it was fun. I mean, it was funny. It was fun for people. They went around, and just to give you an idea, they went around, they're putting up these little yard signs that said, no, you know, you can't place trash here. Violators will be fined.
Mm-hmm.
So in the middle of the night, and the thing was the yard signs, the little signs were no bigger than 2 8x11 sheets of paper.
All right.
The two of them, one on top of the other. And so they had it positioned perfectly. So, you know, at the top it was do not place trash here, and underneath it was violators may be fined. So we printed up all these 8x11 sheets of paper, landscape mold, and we said, eat your vegetables. Don't do that. The board is watching you. You know, do your homework. And we came up, you know, no fishing here, all kinds of things. So in the middle of the night, we went around. We've got a big association, 1,300 homes.
We went around.
We went around with a huge bottle of glue, pasted the back of the sheet, and we pasted them on all of these little yard signs. And so it was dark. It was in the middle of the night, and we went home. In the morning, we got up, and people were getting up, and they're coming outside with their cups of coffee. It was spring, and they're looking at these yard signs. Eat your vegetables. Violators may be fined. Don't do that. The board is watching. I mean, and everybody was just absolutely in hysterics.
That's funny.
It was funny. It was really a lot of fun. Yeah. And so then they went and they tried to peel these sheets of paper off. Of course, they were glued so well that they ruined their own signs.
And then, of course, you get fined for defacing, you know, property.
Oh, they knew exactly who did it. They're going, who do you suppose would do a thing like that?
Yeah, kids, you know those darn kids these days, putting up yard signs. I've some of the funniest things that have happened with our campaign is we're fundraising and going door to door and sending out, you know, the emails and all that kind of stuff. Is every once in a while we'll get an email back from somebody or face-to-face, you know, what we're saying, our pitch, and they're listening to us, but they have this kind of no expression look on their face, and then they say, well, I'm president of our HOA.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I'm like, well, then I guess you have a pretty good sense of humor about it, don't you?
I know. They get very defensive, don't they?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you got to see the humor in it. I mean, it's not like we're going around saying, you know, storm the Bastille and then kill Louis the 16th. We're making a comedy about this. You got to have a sense of humor. If you don't, then you really are the kind of person we're making this movie about. So,
yeah. I have friends.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have friends who are president of their HOAs, and every time I give a speech or do anything, they go, but sure, I'm president of my HOA. And I go, good. And when you're not, it can turn around.
Yeah. We've gotten a couple of the ugly ones where, you know, we got a dressing down, you know, out on the sidewalk, or somebody will send us a nasty email telling us why we have to keep the, you know, fill in this demographic here, why we have to keep them out of the neighborhood, or why we have to have, you know, no cars up on blocks, you know. And it's just the more they talk, it's actually the funnier it gets, because you're bringing up a lot of stuff that, you know, it's stupid. Why would you not want somebody to fix a car and keep it longer? Why would you not want, you know, to put up a better, I told you that story about the fence. You know, why would you not want people to put up a nicer fence than the one that's falling down? Why would you not want them to plant flowers in their yard?
Tell the story about the fence. That was funny.
Yeah, again, we had moved in. This is the first house we owned. And you know, after a couple of years, the cheapo fence that the home builders make, it falls apart, especially here in Texas. You get a little bit of water on it, and then the sun comes out and bakes it. And it's, after about 5 years, it's toothpicks. And so ours is falling apart, and we had a friend that did fencing, and he says, I'll give you a really good deal. We can get a new fence up in one day. And we have a pretty large yard to fence. It's one of those privacy fences with the wooden picket. And so he came in, and he puts it up in one day, and it was one of those things where we just kind of, we met him, and he had time, and he had materials, and we weren't doing anything, and we actually had the money to pay him. So it was just, well, let's get it done now. So, you know, we looked at our old fence the wrong way, and it completely fell over, and we had it cleared out, and he came in and put up this new fence. Well, like 3 days later, we get a letter from our HOA saying, you need to take down that fence. And my wife tried, you know, read it again 3 times to make sure that we're not, you know, going myopic or something in our old age. And yet, sure enough, it says, take down that new fence. Well, you can't be serious. The old fence was an eyesore. This is the kind of thing we move into the nicer neighborhoods for, so we don't have to have eyesores looking at us all day. And so I finally got to the point where the emails and the ignoring them wasn't doing enough, and I called them up, and I said, you know, what are you talking about? Well, you didn't get permission. And I said, well, I didn't think about that, but I really didn't think there'd be an issue with putting up a brand new fence and taking down the old piece of crap. And they told me, no, you were supposed to send in pictures of the fence you want to build and get permission. And I thought about that for a few seconds, and I shook my head, and I said, I'm supposed to send you pictures of a fence that isn't built yet? And they said, yes, we have to, you know, you have to do this to get permission. So what you need is a picture of a fence, right? And I said, yes. So I took my digital camera and I went outside, took pictures of the fence that was already up, emailed it to the association. This is the fence we want to build on our property. 20 minutes later, approved. Go ahead. Like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Oh,
I man. I hope that's going to be in the movie, yes?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's stuff like that. Stories that we get from people. There's this one story, we talked to one of our neighbors. And he said he had a friend, it might have been a family member that lived in an HOA. And he said when they bought the house, they put it in their yard, and they put in, you know, X sod, whatever it was. And the homeowners association, the next summer, when it was really lush, they started giving him crap about the type of grass. Not that it wasn't being mowed, not that it was, you know, a lot of patches of dirt. It was the type of grass that he had in his yard. And again, he was like flabbergasted. What are you talking about? It's nice looking grass. It's really green. You know, it's easy to maintain. No, it's the wrong type of grass. All your neighbors have this grass.
Yeah.
I don't see, you know, I haven't noticed. They kept telling him you had to replace it, and he just was like, right, I'm going to replace my yard. So he leaves for work one day. He gets home in the afternoon. They had brought in a bobcat, removed his yard, put in a new yard, and then sent him a bill for it. Again, oh my, it's so ridiculous you want to laugh, but then you stop laughing when you get this $7,000 bill for a brand new yard that you didn't need or want, you know? Oh man.
You know, I've seen things like that where they've gone in and painted chimneys.
Oh yeah. Trim.
Yeah. And then.
Flower garden.
Yeah. They're so ridiculous. They're so absolutely ridiculous. So what happened? Did the guy pay for it?
I don't know how it ended. The guy didn't tell me. I don't know because this was a while ago, and so I can't remember if he said, you know, it was taken care of this way or that way, or it was still in litigation or something. But you know, he could get evicted or go to jail. I'm sure you heard the story of the guy in Colorado has another set of really nasty HOA folks, but there was a guy in Colorado, same type of thing almost, where he was collecting rainwater in barrels so he could water his garden and stuff. And he gets a letter from the board saying you can't collect rainwater. And of course, again, what are you freaking kidding me? I can't collect rainwater? No, because it's diverting resources from the county or the city. And he's like, you're insane. And he kept fighting it and kept fighting it, and he ended up going to jail. They called his ass off, I'm sorry, they called his butt off to jail for collecting rainwater. And it was like, they can do that.
I haven't heard that.
Huh?
I had not heard that one.
Oh, it was recent. And I'm not sure what happened with it. I got to find out because it was really recent, like within the last year or so. And the last thing I heard from it was the guy went to jail. And then I heard, you know, obviously they were going to appeal it and stuff, but I haven't been able to find the resolution, what actually happened, or if he's still sitting in jail waiting for his lawyers to get him out. But I mean, that's just so absurd. Why would you not allow somebody to save water resources in your neighborhood by collecting rainwater to water their garden? To the point where you're willing to throw them in jail and ruin their life. I mean, that's absurd.
Okay, now was this the HOA that sent him this letter, or was it the local municipality?
It was the HOA that started off, and I believe they were the ones that actually were the ones that got him taken to jail, because they worked with the local municipality, and they were told, you know, this is against this, or it may have been their own. I really can't remember. I just know it was the HOA who was the inciting organization. They were the ones that were telling him not to do it. He ignored them, tried to reason with them, and they were eventually the ones that got him thrown in jail.
Wow. I have not heard that one, but I am really concerned about the fact that the police are doing the dirty work of HOAs. Last show, I interviewed two ladies who wanted to know where their money was going, and they were both thrown in jail. They were both arrested by local police. Yeah, they were both arrested.
It's so odd because they keep saying that HOAs can operate outside the law. They don't have to, follow the regular laws, local, county, state, whatever, and yet the law keeps backing them up.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have something like, you know, a HOA timeout cell or something. Go have me sit in the corner because I didn't get my fence okay. But, that would almost be humorous in and of itself.
I think that is funny. Maybe we ought to propose that, hey?
Yeah, there you go.
An HOA. Right. An HOA timeout corner. Hey, HOA, you're getting a little ridiculous. Go sit in the corner. Don't forget to wear this dunce hat. There you go, Greg. There's something for your movie.
Right. Some kind of scarlet letter you can wear. A big bright yellow Y for I have the wrong yard on my front lawn. I don't know. Jeez Louise.
Well, people have been fined for having dusty mailboxes, dusty roofs, unapproved hoses, cracked flower pots on their front. I mean, just who on earth would do something that absolutely absurd and insane? And if those things, if an unapproved hose will bring down your property values, we're in trouble, big trouble. And it's not a hose that hasn't got the mother may I approval seal.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand, I'm not saying I agree with the way that they've taken it, ad absurdum, but I can understand you move into a neighborhood, you don't want to have to look at a big muddy pit in somebody's yard, everything. You especially don't want it in your own yard. You don't want to look at, maybe things that could hurt you, like a missing manhole cover or a big cracked, uneven sidewalk or something. Yeah, okay, it brings down the property value a little bit. But when they take it to the extreme, where it seems like somebody's just sitting behind a big desk saying, I don't like David Smith. I think I'm going to outlaw you know, the name Smith painted on a mailbox. It's getting a little stupid, and it's running rampant, and it needs to be reined in. You know, I don't think people would mind. It's like the taxes. I don't think, me particularly, I don't mind paying taxes. Just don't make it so freaking difficult for me to pay my taxes. You know, when it was still done with paper, you have to have this foot-thick book to figure out how to give somebody the money you worked for.
Yeah.
Make it easy. Here, take 15% of everything, and I'm done. So I think with neighborhoods, it should just be, we don't want a crappy-looking neighborhood in general. But when you start getting so specific, you can't have those white roses with the pink tips on them that have 15 leaves per stem. What is that helping? That's helping nothing.
Absolutely oh, it's helping petty dictators who have no life of their own. But you know what, Greg? You talk about missing manhole covers and cracked sidewalks. Now, there was a time when local municipal governments handled all of those things.
Right.
That's what your taxes are designed for, designed for. So I think we've let municipal governments get away with too much already. I think that we ought to make sure that if they're going to collect the taxes, which they still are because they're not giving you anything back, they're going to collect the taxes, they better damned well start doing something for that money.
Exactly.
Because it's costing us $50 billion more a year to get the same stuff and to be abused and harassed in the process.
Right, and exactly like those two women, and where is that money going? Stuff ain't getting built, you know, and things aren't being taken care of, and why are we getting double dipped? We're getting hit by the county, and they're getting hit by this nosy neighbor thing.
So people don't understand that that's what these association dues are all about, is to give local municipal governments a free pass. It's free tax money for them.
Right.
So, you know, if there's a manhole cover missing, for goodness sake, city, town, county, whatever it is that you are, please get your buns over here and replace it.
Exactly. Because it's not only unsightly, in quotation marks, but it's dangerous. Kids fall into those. Adults fall into those. Another quick story about the money and getting things fixed. Again, we live in a pretty relaxed HOA. But one morning I wake up and I'm looking out on the front lawn and there's a guy out there with a line finder and he's reading along the yard and then he's got all his spray paint out. He's doing these big yellow lines, these big orange lines, these big green lines. And I walk out and I'm like, and it's right on the property line between my neighbor and I. And I walk out and I'm like, you know, what's up, Doc? And, you know, he said, well, I'm just tired of defining lines. And I said, well, what are you finding lines for? I don't know. I was just told to find lines. I'm like, okay, Lieutenant Kelly, just following orders. And then another group comes out, and they're, you know, scraping off pieces of sidewalk and prying up the sidewalk. And, hey, what you doing? We got to do this for when they come in to put in the new lamp, the new, you know, street lamp that they're putting up. I'm like, who's putting up a new street lamp? I have to talk to the HOA about that. So it turns out the HOA, and then they come and start trenching up our lawn, all of this without any warning, without telling us anything, and seven different crews coming in, one to do something, another to come in and look at the something, and another one to come in and ask how the something looks. And, you know, just 2 weeks of this work in our front yard, and they never told us a word about it. They got our taxes, they're doing some, and they got some grant money, and so they're redoing the parks, and they're putting up more street lighting, which isn't a bad thing. Can't say if I'm angry about having more lighting in the neighborhood. It's pretty dark sometimes. But the fact that they want us to get this absurd permission to put up a fence, yet they can't even shoot us an email or one of those famous letters in the mail to tell us that they're going to come and trench our yard up to put in a new street light.
And this is the HOA or the city?
It was the HOA. It was actually the HOA.
And do they have the authority to come on your property?
I guess they do.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
But again, and I probably should have looked if I was more than just passively interested. But again, they weren't building another house between my house and the other house. They weren't putting a piranha tank in there or anything. They were putting up a streetlight. And so it's kind of hard to complain, but if I had been thinking about it, I would have given them a taste of their own medicine, but you know where that gets you. But it wasn't anything that was, can't complain. You're putting up lighting, so okay.
Okay.
But, hey, it would have been nice.
They dug up your yard. Did they put it back again?
Oh, they put the dirt back in the hole, yeah, when they got done. But it was, the seventh team's job was to refill the hole a week after they had it put up. So, yeah, they did put everything back the way it needed to be.
And you didn't get a violation notice while the yard was dug up?
No.
I mean, that would have been the icing on the cake, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you have a hole in your yard.
Yeah.
And I tripped in that hole. My dog tripped in that hole one night. So we ended up putting some boards over it. But again, I just don't have the energy for something that's not really hurting anything. But all the information I got about it, I got from asking the crews that came in to do whatever it was they were doing. And there was no, absolutely no communication from the HOA or anybody saying, on this day, we're going to be trenching up here. On this day, we're going to bring in this 60-foot street light. On this day, it's going to be bolted in place. And it was just, we're just going to do it, and the heck with you.
Hey, did you send them an email and say, hey, there's someone over here digging holes all over the place. You better come and check it out.
I wish I had the presence of mind to do that, because normally I'm a pretty snarky person, and that's the first thing in my mind is to just start, pushing buttons. But, I got better things to do right now, and I had more important things to take care of at the time, because we were, I was working on this film, and it was just, okay, I'll just add this to the bank of funny stories about HOAs. I just didn't have the wherewithal to go press buttons that time.
Oh, I think pressing buttons can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, Greg, how long do you think the film is going to be? Is it going to be a two-hour film, a one-and-a-half-hour film? What are you aiming for?
Typically, a good comedy will last about 90 minutes, right around 90 minutes. In the film world, dramas tend to last 2 hours. Comedies tend to be about 90 minutes. And ours is going to be right around there. The script... typically what they say, it's a minute per page, and our script is, about 90 pages, maybe around 100 pages, I can't remember exactly, but it's right up in there. And so it's part of any good storytelling is knowing when to come in and knowing when to leave. And so,
I gotta remember that.
Yeah, it's a tight little script. We don't waste a lot of time on stuff that doesn't need to be there. So it starts here, this happens, and it ends. And we're not taking any gratuitous. We need to tack 40 minutes onto it to show this. So, you take the importance. When you originally write it, I think when we originally were writing this, I think we had like a 200-page script.
I was going to say, where do you stop?
Yeah, it was just so much information. And at one point, a couple weeks into the process, we just said, okay, we gotta refine the story. And then everything that doesn't help the story move along, just get rid of it. As funny as it may be, we can use it other places, like, the teaser that we did. I had that idea for a while. I have another music video that we want to shoot that is the Ballad of the HOAs, which is done to the Green Berets song that we want to shoot. So, there's stuff like that that didn't make it into the movie, but we can use it somewhere else eventually for marketing or whatever, or, in a sequel if we ever happen to do a sequel.
The Ballad of the HOAs. Now, we've done a lot to Danny Boy.
Oh, yeah.
We even offered to go and sing to the legislator, but they didn't want us to do that.
Yeah, people get touchy sometimes.
Oh, Danny Boy. I can't remember the words right now. It's going back a few years, like 20 years. But
yeah.
But we did that. We had a whole rock opera at one point.
Yeah, there's just so much you can do with it. Sometimes it's almost debilitating when you just have so much, you just don't know where to start.
Yeah.
What do I do next?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's the problem I have is it's sort of like just all of this stuff and you want to get it all out there and you just can't do it. We're going to be running out. We've still got a few minutes, but before we do run out of time, I want you to give your, you've got a website.
Mm-hmm.
And how, and I'm going to put a link to the trailer because I want people to see that.
Okay.
So why don't you give us your website?
And the website to our production company. Our production company is called Class Clown Pictures, and the website is www.classclownpictures.com.
Okay, so would you spell that?
C-L-A-S-S-C-L-O-W-N, pictures, P-I-C-T-U-R-E-S. And on our main page at classclownpictures.com, the teaser is right there. You just click play. And then beneath that teaser is a link that goes to our crowdfunding site where we're raising funds right now. And that particular crowdfunding platform that we're using is called Seed and Spark. That's SEEDANDSPARK, seedandspark.com. And they only do films, unlike some of the other crowdfunding sites that will do just about anything, music, movies, books, fly swatters, whatever.
Okay, because I'm going to put this on my website, but we also have a lot of cable listeners who will just tune in on cable, and I want to make sure that they have access to it. They probably will not get my promo or will not see it on my website, but they will hear it on cable.
Great.
So we have a number of different cable channels that carry the show.
Oh, let me ask you, too, when will this, I guess you'll tell me when this particular one will be up so that anybody can listen to it so we can use that and send it out to our folks as well.
I'm aiming for this coming Saturday, and I'm going to add you to my mailing list.
Okay, great.
And by the way, if anybody out there wants to be added to the mailing list, please send an email to On the Commons, all one word, onthecommons, at cox.net, and I will add you to the mailing list so you get the promos. But it will go out. It goes out to my mailing list, and it goes out to a lot of mailing lists. But we also have people who just tune in.
Right.
They don't have, not on the internet, but on radio. Some years ago when I was doing a live show, I got a call from someone who says, my wife will not leave the house until she's listened to your show. And so I don't know if they had problems with their HOA or what the deal was, but they obviously were not on the internet crowd. They were an older couple, and they just liked to listen to horror stories, I guess. I don't know. I mean, you've been having a lot of fun with it, Greg.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm trying to picture Ma and Pa Kettle sitting around. Oh, and then the killer sneaks up behind them.
Speaking of killers, I noticed on your trailer that somebody's trash can had sort of fallen over.
And there was
a hand in there. It wasn't a mannequin, was it? Or are we giving away the plot?
Yeah, the plot. Are you asking about what the plot of the story is?
I'm just wondering about that hand in the trash can.
I'm sorry. Yes, I see what you're saying. There actually is. It is part of the plot. The woman in that particular scene. We're pretending she's a female version of the guy in the story who's the main antagonist, the main bad guy that perpetrates the crime in the story. And it does have to do with a trash barrel and a sit-down freezer in the garage. So without giving away too much of the plot. And in fact, if you like, Shu, I can send you the script so that you can read it and have an even better idea of what's going on in it.
You know what? I don't think so, because I want to watch the movie. And I don't know, I don't want to know what's coming. I just want to enjoy it.
Yeah, I can respect that.
I just want to see, I mean, there's part of me that says, oh yeah, send me the script, I'd love to read it. And there's part of me that says, I really, really would like to see the movie, and I'd really, really like to see what happens. I want to be surprised.
Yeah.
Unless the movie's nothing like the script, then feel free to send me the script.
No, it'll be pretty close to it. I mean, I've done improv, and so I'm a big one for improv. We get on the set, you know, like I say about the teasers, it's in the script, but when we get on set, sometimes, you know, weather or people happen, and you have to change things on the fly. But even a lot of times we'll get on a set, the director, Tim Cunningham, and I, and we'll get on a set, and it's just like, you know, it would really be funny if we took this and we did this instead.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes stuff like that happens, and I'm all for it as long as it doesn't change the basic story that we're trying to tell. Mm-hmm. So it has to still tell that story. But, so there may be some things in it where you go, well, that wasn't on page 7. You know, but it's a good story anyway, so what do you care what was on page 7? So.
All right. Well, would you believe we're out of time, Greg? Thank you so much thank you so much for coming on. I mean, you can laugh away an hour in no time, right?
Cool. Well, thank you for having me on, Chu. I'm really glad you tracked us down, and I'm glad you enjoyed the teaser. And yeah, by all means, get it out there so that we can make our budget. We can make this movie and get the rest of the country laughing as well.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you so much, Greg. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.